attention. The movie guys love movies. Any comments about delicate male sensitivities being offended by the casting of the new Ghostbusters are purely
for the purpose of pulling in and concentrating spiritual turbulence.
No, for
the purpose of science is to serve mankind.
No.
For what purpose?
For entertainment purposes only.
Now what do you say if we form a new club and call it the He-Man Woman Haters Club?
I so miss the Little Rascals.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're watching that clip, Spanky's calming the crowd down by doing, okay, okay.
Yes.
Like, what eight-year-old knows to do? Oh, okay, calm down, calm down. Hands over his head. Okay, calm down.
What eight-year-old's going to shut up at that?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And they calm him down and he goes on with the meeting.
I also love the little two-handed...
Like he's in Tammany Hall. Okay, okay. Oh, yeah, the two-handed
victory. Yeah, the
rah-rah.
Yeah, what that's a classic rah-rah.
And then the Alfalfa would gad around with a fur coat sometimes. Remember back in
I don't remember.
Like in the 40s, like
yeah,
the sporty
right.
Guy.
Like a thick corduroy
yeah.
Velvet.
Listen, pimping ain't easy, Bart. Sometimes you have to be warm.
Even by the Little Rascals.
Are they all dead? They're all dead, right?
Gotta be.
Yeah,
this point. Well,
Robert,
no, Mickey,
Robert Blake.
Yeah, Robert Blake's still in. Mickey, he's still in jail,
oh, yeah,
right?
Right?
Yeah, he's doing the killing.
Yeah, did he go to jail?
Is he representing?
Yeah, he went
for something. I don't know, killing his wife. I don't know.
Well, all these guys, they get away with that. Then yeah. They go do something else, right? Like OJ broke into
yeah,
a guy's house. Like
he probably stole something from the supermarket and went to jail for that.
And OJ will be out soon.
Huh?
Out?
Yeah. Yeah, like in the next year, I think.
It's just robbery.
Damn.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Or conspiracy to commit robbery or something like that. Yeah. Like he paid some guys to go get his
murder husband? Murder to commit robbery.
OJ, my favorite Little Rascal, by the way.
OJ Simpson. The fastest of the Little
The
Rascals.
Point about all that was, of course, the He-Man Woman Haters Club.
Yeah.
Out to hate Ghostbusters. We are going to talk all about it today. So welcome to the Movie Showcast, everybody. Part of the vast and sprawling Movie Guys empire. Try to imagine all life as you know it stopping instantaneously and every molecule in your body exploding at the speed of light. You've reached ground zero for all things movies and comedy. We bring the two together right here on our show every week with rants, sketches, previews, characters, jokes, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria. You can expect that in the next hour or so as we broadcast from our studio, the Admiral's Club.
Good to know. Don't cross the streams.
In the corner, penthouse of Spook Central.
Oh!
Every week we bring you a brand new show you can access 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No fee is too big.
No.
$5,000? I had no idea it would be so much. I won't pay that.
Actually, it's free.
Oh, okay.
And we encourage you to follow us on the social media at The Movie Guys on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, which is also free. And please get interactive. Basically search The Movie Guys on Google, Yahoo, or...
Bing.
Thank you, Bill. And we come right up. I'm your host for the hardest working comedy show in the airwaves, Paul Preston, here with Adam Witt.
If there's a steady paycheck in it, I'll believe anything you say.
And Bart Caius.
There's definitely a very slim chance we'll all survive.
And Karen Volpe.
I've quit better jobs than this.
And yes, Karen, this week, really only one movie to talk about. One movie in major release to check out in theaters, Ghostbusters.
Yes, of course, they're serious.
Thank you. And frankly, we've heard a lot of wild stories in the media, and we want to assess any possibly dangerous and possibly hazardous opinions already thrown out there about this movie. So we'll give it a thorough preview, or we'll come back later with a court order.
You go get a court order, and I'll sue your ass for wrongful prosecution.
It's a class 4 apparition. That's okay. She seems peaceful.
My name is Erin Gilbert, doctor of particle physics. That stuff went everywhere, by the way, in every crack. Very hard to wash off.
I'll help.
We're quoting the 84 here, right? We're quoting the 84 Ghostbusters. That's, of course, a clip from 2016. Ghostbusters, opening July 15th, which is our one and only movie to really cover this week.
So I think there are two separate issues that we can talk about.
All right.
One, it's a retread. That's one topic. And two, is it funny? I think those can be mutually exclusive, right? You can have...
And held perhaps at different times.
Okay.
No, only to say you should see it before you say it's
yes.
Funny. But
yes.
I will. But you can certainly have an opinion about the trailer.
Yeah, and so what I'm noticing is that there is a kind of direct correlation between everything we've seen in 1984 and everything that might be presented to us, kind of a beat for beat retelling of that story. That is one argument to have. Adam and I have had it about Star Wars. We can have it about Ghostbusters. But I think aside from that, you can just decide whether this movie's funny on its own without letting that get into the mix.
I have to admit, I've lapsed into that mindset more over time. I think it's a pointless remake. I don't think you need to do it.
No.
It's done. It's here. Okay, well, let's see if it's funny. And now I start to see how you could extend that science fiction concept onto a number of things. Of course, I just will always be disappointed that they just erased the old movies to make the new ones.
I'm sitting here. I just had a very big sadness come over me because I've been trying to have a really good attitude about going to see it. I mean, literally, since like the last 2 minutes, changed my whole opinion. I have my ticket. I'm excited. I want to go see it. I really wanted it to be good. And now, just for the first time, I would listen to that clip and I didn't watch it.
That wasn't me. I didn't do this.
No. Okay. I'm very sad because this is crazy. I think this is the first Paul's hearing this. When she goes, it's a classic something or other apparition, and then the next two lines aren't, I know exactly what to do, and the next line after that is like, get her.
Okay.
I got really disappointed.
That's the
because
argument.
That wasn't funny,
well, it might
what
be.
They
that
just
wasn't a
said.
Whole clip. That was a trailer clip, right?
I don't care. What out. I'm saying is I'm hearing voices in my head telling me the funnier lines.
Because this is so like the original.
Right.
Almost
oh,
beat for beat.
Shoot.
They set up the lines.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
You just don't do it then.
There's two different arguments.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know about that. More movies, not less for me. But.
Okay. Go see Ghostbusters again, and you'll be assured a great time. I just totally changed my opinion after hearing that because it wasn't.
I feel a little responsible.
I heard.
For this.
No, I heard
sorry.
The other
I
lines.
The clip.
Take your shirt off, Karen. Take your shirt off.
Well, Karen,
you're done.
No, no.
Let me explain.
This is the old Ghostbusters shirt. That
still,
wasn't as funny.
Off,
those
please.
Two lines weren't as funny as the ones I'm hearing in my head.
Please take your shirt
right.
off.
Right. But there is, you could have hope that they maybe will be once you see it tomorrow.
Okay.
We'll see. But in the meantime, I have here at
Dang,
the ready.
Really sucks.
Anytime you want to shout it out during the show, I will play a clip from the old Ghostbusters.
Uh-huh.
G6.
Boys, you're scaring the straights, okay?
Sorry, that's from two.
I love that line. Now, two, not as funny.
Well, that was funny.
I did
got a couple
G6.
Good lines.
G6 are all the
you're right.
It is quotable, but you can't watch it enough to get the quotes in your head.
The problem with being able to quote,
right.
you know?
Yeah, the problem with being able to quote the second one is that you have to watch it first.
I'm telling you, because there really are great lines, but you got to sit through some stuff, and you're like, oh.
We had half a slinky.
I straightened it.
Wait, let's go back to old school then.
Egan, I'm going to take back some of the things I said about you. You've earned it.
I'm going to be hearing that. If someone's doing something similar and it's not that, I'm going to hear that.
How does that not do for Nestle Crunch what E.T. did for Reese's?
I know!
Damn shame in history.
Was it a Crunch bar or Mr. Good bar?
All right, let's
crunch. Crunch.
It was a Crunch bar.
Red
let's
blue.
Try and help Karen here and give the new Ghostbusters a brand new preview.
Where,
if you've been waiting since 1989 for a chance to hate a Ghostbusters movie,
I think I have.
Well, the wait is over. And if you've been waiting since 1989 to see a big screen tale of paranormal investigation, then you obviously missed The Conjuring 2. But Ghostbusters is here, like it or not. You know, I think we all have opinions about this, so we're all going to get in on the preview.
Hey!
Here we go!
The gangbang preview. There's something strange in your neighborhood. Who you going to call? Couldn't clear the rights to the original, Paul?
This is Ray Parker Jr. and some beatboxers on a bus.
Oh, my God.
On a bus.
Traveling and then recording what people stop and do in response to their craziness. From, as Adam mentioned, Damned If You Do, Damned If You Don't Productions, comes either a reboot, a sequel, or the rarely cited third option, a movie. It's called Ghostbusters.
I swear we just saw this 32 years ago.
I think J.J. Abrams created an alternate timeline destroying previous conceptions of reboots and sequels with the new Star Trek. That was part reboot, part sequel, and part really good time at the movies, which, if memory serves, is the point.
Everything old is new again, much like Star Wars, The Force Awakens was new, but a retreaded telling of the original Star Wars, A New Hope. Ghostbusters takes its turn at telling the same old story to a new generation in a way that isn't quite as good as the original. Thank God kids today are stupid.
Back when the original Ghostbusters came out, the idea of busting anything was rather new.
You got busted.
It's not that kind of busted or busting.
No?
The kind of busting you do to ghosts is more like apprehending or stopping them. Ghost busting. You get it?
Oh, hey, that's the name of the movie. Kinda.
Yes, you're very smart. Shut up.
Tough road to hoe here, taking on a remake of Ghostbusters. The 1984 Ghostbusters wasn't just funny, it ran the board on pop culture. It didn't just combine the creators of Stripes, Caddyshack, and the Blues Brothers with the special effects creators of Star Wars. It brought with it epic iconography. Ghostbusters logo, the Ecto-1, a James Bond's worth of weapons and gadgets, and of course, the Ray Parker Jr. song.
Who you gonna call? Hi. I'm Ray Parker Jr., writer and performer of the Academy Award-nominated hit single, Ghostbusters, from the major motion picture, Ghostbusters. But that's just one song. I've written so many other major motion picture theme songs and submitted them throughout the years. Now, they're available and together for one specially priced compilation. Songs like, you tried to play the game, but it's driving you insane.
I will not get that out of my head.
That's amazing.
One of the more clever approaches this movie takes is to completely ignore and forget that there was ever a first Ghostbusters. And I recommend the audience does the same. Don't go into this movie ready and wanting to compare every little detail tit for tat to the first one. Just forget that there was a better looking, smarter, more charming, and funnier version of this. Kind of like what you'll do when you go to vote for Hillary Clinton this election.
Oh snap.
Nice way of everyone previewing.
Topical. Very topical.
Just like the 1984 classic, three scientists of dubious pedigree figure out how to trap ghosts, only to find out there's a sinister reason behind the rise of the undead.
Ooh. Also like the 1984 original, a brilliant comedy director reteams with his comedy muses, Paul Feig, the writer-director of Bridesmaids, replacing Ivan Reitman, and Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig standing in for Reitman's Harold Ramis and Bill Murray.
Another SNL alum, Kate McKinnon, joins the duo in the Egon Spengler role. I'm sure she has a name, but I will literally never call these characters anything but their original names. True fans of Ghostbusters know the movie has its heart in the right place when you see McKinnon sporting the awesome hairdo of Egon from the real Ghostbusters animated series.
Yes.
These three scientists team up, each with a particular set of skills.
But what I do have are a very particular set of skills.
No, not those kind of skills. Although those could come in handy when fighting evil. No, she teams up with three other scientists and a street tough to start a company that exterminates ghosts for people. Kind of like the Orkin Man.
No, we're exterminators. Somebody saw a cockroach up on 12.
That's gotta be some cockroach.
Bite your head off, man.
And Leslie Jones plays Attitude. Not sure what her character's name is. Together, they try and quell an uptick in New York City's evil spirit population. Well, movies learn. You can't get rid of evil spirits in New York City. New York City is nothing but evil spirits.
Now, usually when four people of different backgrounds and abilities come together, we tend to describe them as being a ragtag band of misfits. Mm. But here, let's just call them women. Yeah, let's just call them strong, capable, smart, funny women. Suck it, internet.
Now, initial reviews of this Ghostbusters have been, how might you say, a little critical. For example, here's what the internet had to say.
No.
And this criticism seems to be coming from a bunch of angry men. Angry, lonely, unattractive, single men living alone in their mother's basement. Okay, maybe we've added the lonely, unattractive, single, and living in their mother's basement part.
What they don't say when they're typing is that, like, 1 minute after they type that, their mom's like, get upstairs and take out the garbage! You're 45 years old!
Oh, we didn't. Oh, see, I knew I heard that somewhere. Yeah. Okay, there you go. But I think we can safely assume, after all, they're on the internet at 2 in the morning railing against a movie. Something tells me they don't have to get up early for that big shareholders meeting in the morning.
Despite the lack of outcry at the maleness of the original movie, the new cast was met with controversy, trademark copyright, perfectly placed in the era of Drumpf. Like politics, or a freshman improv troupe, the loudest voice gets all the attention. Like Mad Max Fury Road, a group of people I've never heard talk about Mad Max in any way are suddenly experts.
The Buffalo Wild Wings website comment section has some particularly negative reviews, which we used to call sexist, but being called that gives these guys a sad. They're very sensitive when their insensitivity is called out.
Now, if you really want to pull your hair out, here's a stat. Ghostbusters has 2,500 user ratings on IMDb, giving it a terrible 3.7 stars out of 10. And nobody has seen it. I get it, vocal minority. You're all beautiful and unique snowflakes. And personally, I think you're pretty. Do you feel better?
And truth be told, I haven't actually heard anyone complain about the movie directly. What I have heard is a bunch of people complaining about how other people are complaining about the movie. This sort of mob mentality, quick to criticize without really knowing what you're talking about, seems to be very prevalent with movies.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
Female-driven comedies clearly have a box office draw, as shown by Bridesmaids, The Heat, Pitch Perfect, Pitch Perfect 2, and Trainwreck. So can we get past the point where studios will go, hey, women comedies? We tried that last month and you saw what happened. Let's just skip the all-or-nothing excuses and just accept films for what they are.
And can I just say something about reboots and remakes ruining my childhood? Because that's a phrase people love to use. Mm-hmm. Ruining your childhood? You mean that time in life where you have the worst, most narrow taste in entertainment? I hope your memories of She's the Sheriff made it out unscathed.
Paul, can I pile on to that? It seems this He-Man Woman Haters Club has taken a second away from posting All Lives Matter anonymously on Twitter to be experts in movies. You know, if you regularly consult a can of Axe body spray before you go see a genre movie, we don't need to hear from you. This is just the latest version of a fan outcry. Ever since The Phantom Menace, franchise sequels and reboots have been given the label of ruining my childhood. If you think the new Ghostbusters ruined your childhood, you're probably confusing it with a pedophile. Also, when it comes to Ghostbusters, I think you're confusing your childhood with my childhood. This movie is not based on Slimer High C.
There you go. Again, as it come out. So.
And to add insult to injury, we didn't really even talk about Ghostbusters because of these people. We just talked about the cat rage the whole time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what can we say plot-wise?
Well, I know. And I don't want to know.
But, no, well, we did mention that someone is beefing up the ghost count in the city. So that's different already. So that's good.
I'd love it to be very different. I wish it was just another Ghostbusters movie instead of a remake or retelling or whatever.
Here's a possibility.
But I don't know.
Maybe it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't like the fact that the other Ghostbusters never existed.
They gave them new names.
Mean?
Well,
yeah.
No. What I mean is like...
I don't want to live in a world without Venkman.
No, what I mean is this movie takes place and we don't know that there's people who have done ghostbusting in the past. Yeah. It would have been neat if it was just took place like in 2010 and these people have this problem. They're like, hey, remember those people busted ghosts? Let's do our version. I would have liked that better. That way you can have it already exist. I think it's weird that we have to we're doing an origin movie again. Doesn't it bug you when you see Spider-Man again? Paul always says, I've seen that like three times.
However, they finally made that right.
They've gotten very clever with this stuff. I think Force Awakens was very clever in how it did that, and I think the Star Trek reboot was very clever.
I like the Star Trek one.
The best thing about the Spider-Man reboot is that there isn't one. We're going right into he's already Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's what I'd like. I'd like there's a Ghostbusters and we're just doing stuff with them.
But then everyone saw Batman v Superman and is like, oh, another Batman origin story. I'm like, unless he says, I know, I'll call myself Batman. It's not. Like people hate on stuff even though it doesn't do that. So it's like you almost can't win. Except that it will either win at the box office and everyone will be like, oh, that was terrible and it made a ton of money and everybody liked it. But I don't know. It's weird.
Here's
it's
a question I hope
obnoxious.
Nobody can answer.
Yes.
How did the second one end?
Statue
of
Liberty.
They saved New York again.
Yeah, they made the they animated the Statue of Liberty with happy slime.
But didn't
they sang Your Love is Lifting Me Higher?
Did the movie open with them kind of on the outs?
Yeah, which
yeah,
is
that
odd.
Was really sad because they just saved the entire city.
So
that doesn't make sense.
But to that extent, I think you could have done something where, you know, they're out of business. Even after all their success, something went wrong and people started, you know, not taking them seriously and they're run out of town. And then these four get together and go, look, they've done it before. We can do it again.
I'm inspired by what they did before.
We need to prove that this is still something that we have to worry about.
I would take it even one step further.
I like that.
Look what's going on in New York. These guys saved the town. Well, in D.C., we got crazy ex-presidents coming back to life and we need to do something about it. A whole new group of people crops up there. They franchise it out. Chicago gangsters come back to life.
We do with the guys who dress up like Ghostbusters and go and talk to kids in hospitals. Only have that be, you know, Ghostbusters who
real
are fighting
Ghostbusters.
Real Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Back to the tit for tat on this. There was a trailer I saw where Melissa McCarthy says, what we don't want is mass hysteria. which just immediately makes you think of this scene where he says mass hysteria. Because
it's a reference.
Kids. Yeah, but that's the sort of thing that kind of pulls me out. That like where Karen said, I'm expecting the other line after that. Now it might
especially
be because
me.
We just know the movie so well. The other thing we have to remember is how old did you say 32?
That's true.
32 years.
Yeah.
I mean, this is new for most of the people that are going to see this. We can't take that away from them and say, this is your Ghostbusters. There's another one out there if you want to look at it. And I'm trying to think of an example that I'm sure I should be able to where, like Mr. Deeds goes
they
to...
They didn't do it with Star Wars. They didn't do it with Jurassic Park. They didn't do it with Creed.
But they did do it with, they did it with Footloose and that didn't...
Mr. Deeds goes
well,
to Hollywood.
All the ones that
Hollywood.
Didn't work.
But
so if this one works, it'll be a fluke because, I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street, no one cared when they rebooted it.
They
got them all
it.
Here. The new Karate Kid, the new Endless Love, RoboCop, Poltergeist, About Last Night, Footloose.
About Last Night is what
all
I
these other
thinking,
80s ones they remake and nobody cares.
You know what? They remake them in musicals and that works. Like they're able to make some of those movie musicals like the blonde one is huge. Legally blonde. People love that.
Well,
saw that at Pantages. Really good.
It's really good. Yeah, but the one with the naked guys is great.
Full Monty.
The
Full
Wiz.
Monty. The way.
Sorry, I was thinking of the movie.
So
there's
maybe
a lot of almost
this,
naked people.
This
in the
is
movie.
The answer. It should have been a Ghostbusters musical. That would have been the answer.
There you go. Well, I think they're hoping
girls
for a sequel.
Like singing.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I would like that actually a whole lot.
I do like how clever. I mean, you know, you mentioned the remake thing, and so you remake About Last Night. Well, yeah, nobody really cared about About Last Night. But anyway,
it'd be like remaking Top Gun or something. That people haven't attended.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost better to do. I like that they sort of skew it a little bit. Like you could play the drinking game with Creed of spot the reference. Let's not act like that's a
I
whole.
Enjoyed
you know,
that movie
like
a
there's
lot.
Lots of great little references to Rocky, and you know, in the musical score and stuff that kind of like apes that sort of thing. And definitely, Force Awakens. And people said, "Oh, it's an exact copy." But there's all kinds of if you're a real Star Wars fan, there's all kinds of nice little subtle things. You go, "Oh man, that little bit right there is sort of a reference." You know, it's not ripping it off. It's give it, for me as a fan. I'm like, "Oh, that's awesome. That's just like that little kind of moment." You know?
I have. Is this a time? Can I talk about my red-haired guy, because that's exactly what.
Yeah, I had. For
all right,
are you hoping he's back?
Here's
show,
what I want to say.
This particular show is your time to talk
okay,
about.
Okay,
yeah.
Let me get
anything.
This out because it's like therapy for
now,
me.
Yeah, now back up and tell the whole story here.
No, I
want to refer to him.
First, I want to refer to why I'm bringing it up. So Adam was just talking about how if people can make references and it can be kind of like inside, but like super inside.
Yeah.
That
Easter eggs, I think
can
they
really,
call them. Yeah.
Yeah, that could be really, really great for people who are huge fans like me. So for example, the one thing about the regular Ghostbusters that drove me crazy was, okay, his
and this
name
does drive character.
Eldo.
I was lucky.
Ray Estes.
That's the real actor.
That's
name?
His real name.
How
and
did you find
how'd
that?
How did you find
because
that?
Because there's lots dedicated to him on the internet. But here's the deal: if they do a thing in this movie where it's a woman with red hair or a man or whatever, and there's somebody in that crowd with a big crazy red hair yelling stuff too loud, I will be really happy for the movie.
Okay,
I will be very proud of the movie.
Now back up and explain in case anybody didn't know, because you had to tell me about this and point it out when we watched Ghostbusters together.
Which is now all we
all
can
you see. Okay,
so
I know. You watch the movie, you can't unsee them anymore.
There are 11 times in the movie.
Oh, what?
11 times.
Wow. Spot the Aldo?
Where you
playing?
Can spot
where's Aldo?
And so he's this very tall, very Duran Duran looking 80s gentleman who has crazy shocking red hair. Mm-hmm. And you can see him whenever the Ghostbusters are going to actually go into Dana's building and fight Zool and everybody up there. So they're downstairs, and before there's the crazy like earthquake and stuff, you see them just kind of during Saving the Day is playing, and there's people praying and stuff, and you can see this extra. And do you have the clip? We hear this.
Like that shirt, Brad.
He just said, Ghostbusters, all right. And that's an extra.
Wow. He made it
into
the mix.
Wait,
now
the
that
mix.
You know the listen for
listen.
It, here it is again.
Like that shirt, Brad.
All right. I don't know if they had to do ADR to get that in there. Maybe they read his lips or something, but the dude got a credit because he spoke in it. He's a redheaded man.
That's how he did it.
I know him as
residuals.
The red-haired Ghostbuster.
Oh, my God.
But here's what's
beat
really...
Beat him like a red-headed extra in Ghostbusters.
He chases the car at the end of the movie. There's many spots where they have to like be all scared because of the earthquake, and he overacts like crazy. And it used to drive me crazy. But now that I did some research on him, and if they show anything like that in the new movie, I'm going to be super psyched.
Well, It's interesting you say that. I just saw Star Trek, the first one, at the Hollywood Bowl with a full live orchestra, which is amazing. It's like being at a scoring session. Mm-hmm. It's this crazy experience. They take all the music out of the movie, and then they play it live. But, you know, something it perfectly could go for the rest of the audience, and not that many people laughed at it, and it should be laughed at. In Star Trek, they have the beam that's going down to Vulcan, and they have to go down to the platform and fight other people in this action sequence, and have to parachute down to, or, you know, dive down to this platform through space. And it's a really cool sequence. They're going at hundreds of miles an hour, but it's Kirk and Sulu, and then some guy we haven't met yet who's in a red outfit just shows up. Now, if you know the show, the red shirts, anybody wearing a red shirt who wasn't Scotty would die. And whenever they went down to an alien planet, it was Kirk, Spock, Bones, and Johnson, you know, like, and then of course he would get zapped or whatever. So in Star Trek, the remake, it's great. This is random guy comes on, he goes, "Oh, I'm so excited, guys, let's do it." And
I love that.
Everybody
yeah.
cracks up,
totally.
You know, so that's an Easter egg sort of well, thing. Here, so I'm hoping
there's a redheaded extra. And here's why I just wanted to bring him up, because Eldo Ray Estes should be given the credit he is due. He is a 4-time Emmy Award-winning makeup artist.
What?
So he has gone on from being the guy who drove me absolutely crazy to someone I think is doing some pretty cool stuff. So he won that for As the World Turns. And he also was an extra or something in Arthur. He also is currently working.
Arthur, all right.
All right. All right. He is currently working on the Sutton Foster television show on TV Land called Younger. And the idea behind that is that she's a 40-year-old woman who has to look 26 in order to get an entry-level job. So his makeup is really important in that. Ooh. He has to take her and make her look 26. So he's actually really good at this. And he's also currently Sharon Stone's makeup artist in Running Wild, which is a post-production.
Is he working on the top or bottom half of Sharon Stone?
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, maybe he's making aging it,
so
keeping it
all
nice.
We could have him on the show.
We could totally
he's
have him on
around.
The show. Well, he's in New York City.
Oh.
And some other things he's worked on. He has 44 credits as a makeup artist.
Wow.
And he's worked on Boardwalk Empire, Orange is the New Black, wow. Blue Bloods, and my favorite, A Very Merry Christmas.
Oh,
how cool is that? Bill brought him back around.
Bill brought him back around. So I just think
you really like the way he yelled Ghostbusters.
Like that shirt, Brad.
So he's doing all right for himself. He's doing just great.
My favorite annoying extra in Ghostbusters. Do we all have one?
Ron Jeremy.
I think I share Karen.
Ron Jeremy, go ahead. Yeah,
yes.
Is the fainting lady. There's a lady that faints.
Yeah.
She's right at the police line.
By the barrier.
Same scene, right?
It's the same. And it's like somebody shot her and she just crumbles to the ground. In the most dramatic, slinky fashion.
Well, Eldo said no one explained to them except what they were doing except now be excited and now be worried and now be concerned. They would just yell that. They didn't know that there was going to be a marshmallow man. They didn't know exactly what was
Did you
happening.
Read out? You read an interview with him or something?
Uh-huh. He was really nice. And
God, I love the internet.
He said one more thing that I thought was... this is the other thing I thought was really great. He said that whenever he went to go to Ghostbusters on the opening day, he wasn't able to get on the opening day. He went the next day with his buddy and they were in Brooklyn. They were walking to the theater and he knew he made it into the film because someone saw him and yelled... Ghostbusters, all right!
Wow. That is...
Second day.
Now that's a big movie. There's that amount of story comes out. That is
amazing.
A big movie.
Exactly.
You can't find that amount of story of little things.
It's really cool, yeah. I would love to have him here. Now I'd actually like him.
And I think the other thing we're kind of missing about the benefit of an all-woman cast is it's like 8 times as many boobs.
Oh, yeah, a lot more boobs.
There's like so many more boobs in this movie. I don't know what guy should be complaining about all the boobs.
That is a really odd complaint.
Now, granted, 3 of them are on Leslie Jones. Nonetheless, that means at least 5 other boobs.
The only boobs we had in the other movie were William Atherton.
And
he was a boob.
Annie Potts. He was a giant boob.
I love, well, there's another comparison. I love that Annie Hotz, I guess.
There it is, Annie Hotz.
Was she?
You just called her Annie Hotz.
Yes, was she regarded as attractive in that movie? Because I always had a crush on her.
Oh, totally. She was adorable.
Okay. And so they bring
in. It was played down, so at least she had to be kind of.
But they bring in Mr. Hunky here. What's his name?
Chris Hemsworth.
Who looks absolutely hilarious in this.
Yeah.
He's really funny.
I mean, I love the reverse casting of that, too. Yeah. You can't then have the Janine be... I was like, you got to go with the hunky... Not even... Janine was a nerd. They went complete opposite.
Is he the one who's the comedian in Vacation?
Yeah.
He's so good
with
in that.
With the giant penis
so
in the remake of Vacation.
Amazing. He's so funny. Now that, oh my gosh, let's go into this. So Vacation, I saw that. Paul hasn't. Have you guys seen it?
Not a remake, no. A sequel.
It was so good.
Even though they re-
and
now, that's
I
a
loved
very
how they handled
it.
If
very
Ghostbusters
clever.
Had done that, I would have been psyched. I started to well up whenever
one
Chevy Chase said, take my
girls.
Car. That was brilliant.
One of the ghost-busting girls should have been a daughter of, like, Venkman or...
Absolutely!
But see, guys, as a superhero fan, as a massively rebooted things I watch all the time, I make these little fixes in my head anyway.
Oh, I see.
You wouldn't believe the fixes I have going on for Batman v Superman
actually,
that makes it a pretty good movie.
Wow.
That does explain...
No.
Does explain a lot because I don't do an ad and I don't like them. So, yeah, if I fixed them, that's smart.
I can see Adam just sitting there thinking and sweating. Working. What are you doing? I'm working on Batman. I'm just trying.
I bought the director's cut and I watched it like 2 times in one day, and I watched it the next day and I was like, I've got it. All right. So Alexander Luthor is not Lex Luthor, which he's actually not. But in my head, I'm like in between. Does Superman beat up Gene Hackman? And this kid's pissed. And I'm like, now everything's just perfect. It's fine. Got it. No problem.
That's funny.
But listen, we talked about the backlash, and the backlash against this new Ghostbusters is so odd, so venomous, and hate-filled. It really has caused a schism in America. We're a divided country, right? This is one of the many things.
Well, Ghostbusters for sure shows that.
Yeah, so I thought the best...
All Ghostbusters matter.
Yes!
It's like what I want to say.
Yes. It's like we're having a civil war.
All right.
So I thought the best way to portray such a divide is through the style of Ken Burns.
Oh, yes.
Well,
the Civil War.
That's a good idea in this audio format.
Yes, so we now present these...
Most of his movies make for good radio.
Yeah.
We now present these letters.
They do.
Letters from online haters to the Ghostbusters.
This is it. This is definitely it.
Here we go.
This is it.
Oh, stop it.
I love that.
It works, Paul.
Yes. Sorry, that took us out of the Civil War, but now we're going back in to the movie guys, Civil War. My darling franchise, this movie is probably the most sexist movie. You know, I should mention, these are actual quotes from the internet.
Yes,
before we get too far into it, these are actual quotes from people who decided to post these opinions.
Yes. And you know what's nice is they made making the comedy so much easier for us.
No comedy embellishment
not
on
at
the
all.
Movie guys.
Just because we have cleverly gotten this music and we are doing accents and affecting a great parody tone here, this is real.
My darling franchise. This movie is probably the most sexist movie since Doomsday Machine. They replace the entire main cast with only women to appeal to the radical feminists. When your ideology discriminates against who you can cast in a role that is called fascism, and it is not a good thing. Warmest regards, depressed Pepe.
Poor little Pepe.
Dearest summer tent pole, they're obviously trying too hard to make this funny. The originals were funny because they didn't try at all. This movie is a disgrace. Best wishes, Django Mandingo.
2 day service. 2 day
service.
My betrothed feature film, Your Movie Sucks, Die, is now considered a death threat? Get a grip, lamos. Respectfully, Lars Ulrich's hairy left nut.
My darling Ghostbusters, the problem with Hollywood has right now is prejudice. That is why we see so much crap being farted out of the Hollywood pipe into our always open and ready to consume mouths. Hollywood doesn't hire anyone on their abilities to write or produce anymore. They hire people on whether they are Jewish.
Didn't see that coming.
Come again there, brother.
They hire people on whether they're Jewish or not.
Oh, clearly.
And no, it doesn't mean I'm a Hitler-loving anti-Semite for simply pointing out the truth. Sincerely, Cuthbert Bracegirdle.
The movie guys. The Civil War. Ghostbusters.
That's a good format.
All right.
That's a great format. I like that.
I'm depressed. I got to come out of that.
Hang on. My goodness.
Ooh. Spicy for a unique fixer-upper opportunity. That's all.
This is it. How do you feel? How do you handle online haters?
They hate that.
They hate this. I like to torture them.
That would be a great thing to post just in every column where people are doing that. Just like that little sound clip there. They hate this.
Love to torture.
Stop it!
Wow, so those were all real.
Yeah.
And we...
Those are the ones we could read on terrestrial radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we didn't want to read any of the dirty ones.
Yeah, there's a bunch of dirty birdies out there.
So, this is what I learned. They hire people on whether they're Jewish or not.
Certainly.
But I didn't get that from a Hitler-loving anti-Semite.
No.
Because he's simply pointing out the truth.
Yeah, that's just the truth.
Thank you.
And just because your movie sucks, you must die. Because,
thank you, Internet.
I mean, just think how many people should be dead. Lots of movies suck.
Paul Feig has received death threats.
Oh, Lord.
Death threats.
Crazy.
Over the ghosty movie. Over the ghosty busty movie.
Not the ghost busty movie.
The Ghostbuster.
All right, now the movie showcast. I don't know how many of you are newish listeners to our show, but we've been doing this for a while.
Oh.
Mm. I mean, we even previewed the original Ghostbusters when it came to theaters in 84.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you just tuned in, but this
we were all in
around.
Junior high at the time.
We were fairly early on then.
I was real busy that week, but yes.
Now, we weren't sure what it was when we previewed
it was
you
a
know,
movie.
Or what it was going to be.
It was new to us. Yeah,
so, but would it be worth to play that old clip from the show?
I think I would. I'm curious to hear.
I don't want
to
hear it, Paul.
I think you're outvoted.
I think I remember when I listened to it, I can hear that you had a lot more hair.
Should we play the clip or not? You know what? Let's go to break, and then we'll talk about whether we should play the clip some more. I don't know if we should play the clip. Should we play the clip?
Well, here's the thing. The clip was on audio cassette.
Oh.
Back in the day, it was just passed around, and if you got it, you were cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's let everyone
that was a cool
be
thing
cool.
To do. Right. Mail order.
So everyone listening, you're going to be cool as we play the preview right here on the Movie Showcast from 1984 when we previewed the original Ghostbusters. Let's go back for a second.
You should put a pencil in it to wind it.
Yeah, tighten
record.
It up.
Hey, welcome to the Movie Boys. I'm Paul Preston. Here with me is Bart Caius.
Can I borrow your underpants for 10 minutes?
Karen Volpe.
Like Telly Friesgifer. Okay.
And Adam Witt.
Luke, I'm your father.
Don't ever change, guys.
Awesome.
Later on in the show, we'll be joined by the star of Gremlins, Zach Galligan.
Ooh.
I have a feeling this Gremlins movie is going to put him over the top. I mean, kind of cool we were able to get him before he turns up and blows up into the next Dustin Hoffman or Richard Gere.
Oh, my God. I love him.
Oh, quick show note, everybody.
What?
Join us at Sears and Roebuck on Laurel Canyon and Victory Boulevard this Saturday at 10 a.m. for the launch of Kenner's Imperial Shuttle Toy.
Oh.
And you probably have all the Return of the Jedi characters. You have all the figures.
Oh, I got
you?
All of them. I got Low Gray. I just got Low Gray.
Oh, the guy from he's the guy on the.
No, you're thinking
a
prune face.
I keep wanting to call it a spliff. It's not Jabba's spliff.
It's skiff.
Skiff.
It's skiff. Yeah,
Kenner's
not to
my,
be.
Kenner's my favorite toy manufacturer of the day.
Yeah, they're very good.
Mattel, not so much. Kenner.
Well, Bart, you can own your own Imperial shuttle with laser sounds, open side panels, and automatic wings.
Neat.
We'll be there doing our fire starter and far lap jokes, along with a sketch from our live show, The Year of Living Hilariously. So come on down to Sears.
You know, you could totally get strawberry shirt cake there, too, and some Care Bears.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-hmm. Everything is there, and we will be, too.
You know, also you can get those cool shirts with the collar that goes up, and they have, like, the alligator, the lacrosse.
Mm-hmm. And stripes. Mm-hmm.
You're such a preppy.
Horizontal stripes.
Well, okay, whatever.
Prep.
Whatever.
But before we get too off track, it so happens on here.
Whatever.
We bring you our patented previews of all the movies coming out this week to see if they're worth your $2.50, including Top Secret and Beat Street.
Mm.
Oh.
And Bart will give you his review of Airport 77 from TBS. So let's
do
it.
I'm not rich. I just have cable.
Yeah, I have to totally come over and check out Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
We don't have HBO yet.
Hey, how was Six Pack? You said you were going to watch Six Pack.
Mom won't let me stay up that late.
Is there something strange in your neighborhood?
Strange? Like Andy Kaufman?
Oh!
This rap music everyone is playing.
Well, the strange are the spirits of the deceased from Ivan Reitman, the director and / producer of the film Cannibal Girls Comes Ghostbusters.
Sounds like this should be an all-star cast. I assume Grace Kelly and Natalie Wood are the leads.
Too soon, Paul.
Or Rock Hudson?
That's bogus.
Too early.
Paul, okay, totally. Check this out. So this movie stars Saturday Night Live cast members Dan Aykroyd from Dr. Detroit and Bill Murray from Meatballs.
Oh,
it just doesn't
movie.
Matter.
It's written
it just
by.
It doesn't matter.
Paul, it's written by Harold Ramis, the star of Stripes, and also stars Ernie Hudson, who nobody knows.
I'd like to point out that Ernie Hudson is in Space Hunter Adventures in the Forbidden Zone in 3D.
Like he said, nobody knows.
Of course he did. When a woman in Central Park West finds out that her apartment is haunted.
Haunted? Central Park West? Of what, for her $1,200 a month for a one-bedroom apartment?
That's scary.
That is totally scary, though I do like her hair. It's so curly. The Ghostbusters develop one weapon that Reagan hasn't sold to the Contras, and they start busting ghosts faster than the Air Traffic Controllers Union.
How do you bust a ghost? What do you, plant drugs on them?
Oh.
Maybe go with a little wiretapping, or just turn it into another ab scam?
Deep reference.
Isn't that like 3 years ago? Forever ago.
This is the first comedy using the new special effects that have been wowing audiences for the last few years in such movies as Tron, The China Syndrome, and probably The Last Starfighter. I forget what year they came out, though.
Of course, if you've heard of this movie, it's because everyone has caught Ray Parker Jr. fever from seeing the video, the one with Chevy Chase in it, on Friday Night Videos.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how well this movie will do, but one thing is for sure, that Ray Parker Jr. will be around forever.
Uh-huh. Well, I hope so.
If it does well, I'm sure they will make a sequel, but I wonder if the sequel will feature new Saturday Night Live cast members. I'd love to see a Ghostbusters with Terry Sweeney and Robert Downey Jr.
Who wouldn't?
Robert Downey Jr. in a sci-fi action movie. Hilarious. Never happened.
Oh my goodness, that's crazy.
Wink. Wink. I'll tell you what, though. This trailer doesn't look very funny. I mean, listen to this. I didn't laugh once, and I'm very important because I have that opinion.
Well, let's hope it's more Rubik's Cube and less this new Coke they want to spray on us. Now it's time for Karen's birthdays. Take it away, Max Headroom.
Time. Karen's birthdays, it's time for Karen's birthdays, it's time.
All right, everybody, let's have a really fun time celebrating a birthday today of Mila Kunis, who turns one.
All right, enough of that stuff. Let me turn the tape player off.
Oh, thank you for turning that off.
Be kind, rewind, Paul.
Holy cow.
That was a blast from the past.
I gotta be honest with you. Whenever Ghostbusters came out, I wasn't seeing a lot of movies in theaters, so I didn't see the trailer, and I only saw it a couple of times on TV, and it really seemed like a scary movie.
Mm.
I can't remember the first time I saw it, and I cannot remember what opinion I had of it going in. I don't think I really appreciated this movie until much later.
I remember the ad campaign coming to save the world this summer.
Yeah.
And then Bill Murray. I'm like, oh, Bill Murray.
I'll go see anything
with
Bill Murray.
With, all the Stripes. SNL people.
My brother took me to Stripes in the theater. I was 11.
Oh.
And he was like, I'm 17. And more than 17. So he's like, I'll take you. And I went. He took me to that, and he took me to History of the World Part 1.
Your brother's awesome.
Double feature.
Do they still have that? 17 and under?
Rated R?
Rated R?
They still have Rated R.
They just... What?
No, I know they have Rated R.
No, you still have to circumvent it in the same way, too.
Is it the same little dodge?
My grandma's got to come down, buy the Purple Rain tickets, and then go back home, and we go in. She doesn't know what she's buying, but she gets 5 kids in.
You know, I mean, the people... The people who know me and know movie guys who listen a lot know that the reason I saw it so many times in the theater is because my dad had a heart attack and he was in the hospital. But we live so far away from the hospital that my mom couldn't go back and forth to take care of the kids. So we all had to get in the car. And those were the days where you just all went to wherever and stayed there all day.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were at the hospital for over a week and a half straight. And so my mom said to my brothers, do something with your sister. And the only thing they could think to do is go to the movies. And it was during the summer, clearly. And so we would just go and we would see 3 showings of Ghostbusters a day. And it's the only movie I wanted to see.
That's awesome.
I would just keep seeing it because I was only a little kid.
I knew you were doing it 3 times a day.
Well, we'd go in for maybe for the noon show. And then we'd go in the afternoon. And then depending on how late we were getting out, the nighttime show.
Did the clerks at the theater ever cut you a break?
No, I don't remember specifically. Yeah. I remember people recognized us.
Yeah.
I remember I would go in the movie, and right about the time they were getting the car, I would start forgetting about my dad. Aww. Like being worried about him. And then the show would be over, and I would be like, this is the greatest. And then I go, oh, my dad's still in the hospital with a pacemaker. So it was pretty traumatic. And I think that might be why that Ghostbusters movie obviously is so important to me. And that doesn't mean this movie is going to ruin my childhood. So, I mean,
and that's what's
funny.
You know
what I mean?
People say ruin their childhood. It literally made your childhood.
Yeah. It made everything a lot better.
Your dad got out of the hospital, right?
Yes, he did.
So unless this movie kills your dad,
right?
I think you're good.
We're good. But it really made, that's why I love the movie, because it not only was funny and I love Bill Murray, but it took me to a different place, and that's what movies are about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is such an, I remember I was already a Bill Murray fan, Dan Aykroyd and stuff like that, because my parents were like original Saturday Night Live fans, and they had the album, the Saturday Night Live album, which had a bunch of the classic sketches on it. But, and so they were like big proponents of that and were already like showing me Blues Brothers and stuff like that. But I was just like amazed at how well crafted Ghostbusters was. This like a story. It was really, and I mean, the
it
fact
was
that, yeah,
scary and funny. Not everything is scary and funny,
right?
That was pretty new. It,
but not so scary that like you could be a young kid like us and you know that it was like, oh, that was a good scare, but it didn't like, you know, put you under the
chairs. It wasn't like seeing Darth Vader. That really scared me. Darth Vader, just the idea of this creepy tall man walking slowly towards you. Really,
this was 84 when the first one came out, and I can't remember exactly when, but during my childhood at some point, UFOs were huge, and there was a show on network television called Project Blue Book.
Ooh,
and it was about the Navy or the Air Force investigating, and these were supposed to be all true accounts, and they were reenacted. And so
like
I remember,
In Search Of?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I remember when this movie came out, there was that kind of paranormal ghosty thing that was really spooky, and you'd see a ghost, and so I don't remember if
Poltergeist was already out, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
And that's the other thing that I think is interesting about this. And again, this is made by really clever people like Paul Feig. Like, he killed it with Spy and Bridesmaids. I still haven't seen The Heat, but I mean, he just...
Oh, that was good. I really like that. Yeah.
Really talented comic director with, again, like Ivan Reitman had his muses. Harold Ramis and Bill Murray. So this feels very similar in that way that I want to see him use them and then work with him.
Though, I got to tell you that Bridesmaids scene where Melissa McCarthy has to go to the bathroom, I didn't find that funny.
Yeah.
And so I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of that in this.
In this Ghostbusters? A lot of potty humor?
That's what it looked like when they were...
The rating will keep it from being that hard.
Oh, well, that's true.
No, I'm not talking about the actual act of pooping, but that kind of comedy where she's like trying not to do something gross. But like in the alley when they're trying out the guns, there was a lot of like shticky humor. Physical humor. There's not a lot of physical humor in the original Ghostbusters.
Yeah, but she's got a verbal humor style too.
I like
which
that.
Exactly.
I think there's a lot of subtlety. The two clips that I'm thinking of is when she burns her hand... And she's giving a conversation, and it's a total Chevy Chase move where hi, that's hot.
Total spies like us.
Yes, and Kate McKinnon does that bit with the hat. Is it the hat or is it the wig? It's the wig, isn't it? That real subtle, underplayed. I think there'll be plenty of
that. And the other thing is, it's a director of Arrested Development. There's no way to describe to someone what's funny about Arrested Development, or really even Spy. Like, you could show the funny jokes. You can show her fall over on the thing.
Trailers aren't always
strong. I mean,
it doesn't matter.
And the more clever it is, the tougher it is to sell.
Think about what Arrested Development looks like on the page.
Yeah, right? What must that look like?
Her? What? Egg? There's the word egg is on the script. How is this funny?
Wasn't it you telling me that Dave Sachs once described Jim Carrey as the best friend of the show, Dave Sachs?
Yeah.
Jim Carrey is one of the best actors alive because all the script said was smoking.
Yeah, smoking with emphasis. Like, smoking loud or whatever.
So the mask shows up and he has smoking. It's a catchphrase. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, that was a comment I made about Charles Grodin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The script said, how much is the coffee? How much is the tea? I'll have the tea.
Yeah.
That's all the script said.
That's all the script said.
Go watch that scene in Midnight Run. It's hilarious.
Let's first, let me fire up
Hit me with one, Paul. Hit me with one.
No studying.
Before we started recording, you guys mentioned that you hadn't heard of the whole "I want a new drug" lawsuit.
I just
for the
learned that today. Does everyone know that Ray Parker Jr. actually had to settle out of court with you? Do you have the whole facts here?
Let's play a little bit of "I want a new drug."
I'd like to hear the comparison
because Ghostbusters.
I also know saving the day.
Here's "I want a new drug."
Oh boy, that's okay. Oh, I don't know about that.
Ghostbusters.
Can every rap artist, back in the '80s, like they all had the same?
Do you have Ghostbusters, Paul?
I think I only have the old one from 1984.
Let's hear it.
Do you have Bobby Brown?
You can hear that's an old recording.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. I was going to say, they're all from 84.
From our old
what
show?
Are you
this is
about?
From our old show.
Here we go. It's a drum machine.
Holy crud!
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I have never. Huh?
Yeah, it's. It's just in a different key.
Wow.
If you change the key, it's almost identical.
But here's the thing.
That is nuts.
The word is, Huey Lewis started writing for Ghostbusters, bailed because he started to work for Back to the Future,
yeah.
Which he wrote two songs, of course, became the biggest hit, I think, of his career, was Power of Love. And so...
it's the power.
Yeah, so eventually they just said, Ray Parker just used some stuff that I had written.
Wow.
And stolen the melody. They settled out of court, and then... I guess in 2001, Lewis talked about it on VH1's Behind the Music, and Parker sued again because he broke confidentiality.
Yeah, we're not allowed to talk about it.
So it went on for like 20 years.
Oh.
I honestly hope Ray Parker's not destitute right now. I hope he's got some good money.
Oh, he showed up on Jimmy Kimmel the other day with the cast.
Yeah.
And he led the band and he did the song and everything. So he's out there.
Okay.
Yeah, whether they peel him off the curb to do it, I don't know.
So is that probably tit for tat then? They're even now, right?
Well, if he resued for the confidentiality, he might have made some money on that.
Yeah, you know? I think, you know what? Good for him. If the other guy's going to sue you.
Quick trivia question. What's film song beat out Ghostbusters for best original song at the Oscars?
Because it was Emmy Award. Oscar Award.
Take my breath away.
Good guess. That's 2 years
later. Wind Beneath My Wings.
Good guess. It was a few years later.
What's the James Bond film from that year? All Time High.
No.
What movies came out then? I 84. Can't remember.
Any hints?
Oh, Ferris Bueller, Shake It Up Baby, that Twist and Shout?
No, that was a cover.
Is it Phil Collins?
Nope.
Oh.
It was.
Is it not Phil Collins?
That's correct. Okay. I just called to say I love you, Stevie Wonder.
What movie?
That's from a movie?
Yeah. From Lady in Red. Woman in Red.
Woman in Red. Gene Wilder, yes.
Yeah.
Lady in Red was the porn version of it, which I saw.
Some more trivia. When is the first time the word proton pack is used?
Ooh.
In the movie or in history?
When they're in the elevator?
Hmm?
When they're in the elevator?
Nope.
I don't understand the question.
When is the first time the word proton pack
in the movie?
It's not actually said in the movie, right?
Just in history.
Oh, okay.
Well, the point is in the second movie. They don't say it.
Bobby Brown says it?
No, they mentioned it.
No, Huey Lewis does.
I have no Bobby Brown trivia.
Okay,
there's a hint to future trivia questions.
I'm just saying this trivia is too hot to handle and yet too cold to hold.
You know what's so great? You said Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
Right, so maybe, Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown, right? So Ray Parker Jr., when was Bobby Brown doing Ghostbusters?
For the sequel.
Oh, I didn't realize it was him.
Yeah.
Wow. I thought it was Ray Parker Jr. again.
Would they screw Ray out of this?
Yeah.
I think he was done.
Oh, okay. that's so funny. I thought you were just being funny. He really didn't do it. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like Ray Parker Jr. couldn't handle that song.
Yeah. he could have done it, but I think they were just
you
on
You have to handle Too Cold to Hold or call
Bobby
the Ghostbusters.
He's in control now. They're throwing a party for a bunch of children.
Now you got your proton pack in your back and let's split.
It was their prerogative to use Bobby Brown. That's all I'm saying.
Ghostbusters became the highest grossing movie of all time. What film came along and knocked Ghostbusters from the top spot?
Chariots of Fire.
Oh, not highest of all time, highest grossing comedy. Because highest grossing of all time would still be Star Wars. Whatever.
Oh,
comedy.
Hangover?
No. Much sooner.
Oh, really?
In fact, only 6 years later.
Oh, really?
Forrest Gump?
That's not funny.
6 years after. So 1990 comedy?
Yeah.
Not Vacation. That
I
was
think so.
Before.
Do I have my year right?
That was
either way, it was Home Alone.
Oh,
either way, it was Home Alone.
I wouldn't guess that.
Yeah. Can I have a hint? It's Home Alone.
I wouldn't think, wow, that stellar comedy, Home Alone.
You know what? That's the point. I wasn't thinking Home Alone as a comedy.
Yeah. Mm. When I was watching it, I was. Yeah.
I thought it never occurred to me that this movie is a comedy.
And we all know the alternate casting, like who was originally cast for Peter Venkman.
For Peter Venkman was originally...
Liev Schreiber.
No,
Jean-Claude
Belushi.
Liev Schreiber's good in everything,
wasn't it
so that's
Belushi?
A great guess.
He is.
It was originally Belushi.
Belushi.
And then Eddie Murphy was originally Zeddemore.
Correct.
That's right.
And I think the role got smaller when he didn't do it. So.
Yeah.
I would love to have seen what Zeddemore was supposed to be.
You think you would, but I think Eddie Murphy would have rolled over it. That was Eddie Murphy like he was about to become the worst Eddie Murphy, right?
That was
right?
Beverly Hills Cop Eddie Murphy. No, he was still hot, but he was owning movies at the time. Yeah.
It would no longer be a Bill Murray movie. Yeah.
That's what I was just going to say. I don't know if I would like to be in the world with Bill Murray as having to share the screen with Eddie
Murphy.
I used to
think I wanted to see that because you want Ernie Hudson to be as epic, Second City and Saturday Night Live, as the other three cast members. So when I heard that it was Eddie Murphy, I was like, oh, that'd be awesome. But as I've gotten a little older, I'm like, it might have ruined our Ghostbusters.
My favorite moment in Ghostbusters has nothing to do with Bill Murray or comedy, which is unbelievable considering that that's my favorite thing ever is Bill Murray. But it's whenever Zeddemore and Raymond Stantz are going across the bridge in the car and they're talking about Judgment Day. Yeah. For some reason, that maybe it's because my dad was in the hospital, but that really affected me when I was a kid because I'd never heard about that before. And I was like, is this real? What is this?
And what a cool thing about that is as well. And again, like when I was a kid, I was like, this is like a plot. This movie has like a real plot.
Like, but based on the Bible.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
The idea that the dead would rise from the grave when the world is ending. And of course, they'd be ghosts. Like, it all fit together so well. I was like, wow, this is like a really epic ending we're leading up to. You know?
And
very
then
cool.
The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
and then it's like, oh, yeah, and we're a comedy.
One of the great jokes of all
time. I did not see
that
coming. Did anybody? Yeah. Anybody know what they were seeing? The first time you see the movie and you see a glimpse of something through the city, what could it be? I had no idea.
I do have a bone to pick with that scene.
Oh, yeah.
And I need somebody to explain it to me.
Okay.
When Venkman is explaining to the rest of them, he says, if we think of J. Edgar Hoover.
Raymond Stantz, I believe. Who is explaining it? No, it's Egon.
No, I think Bill Murray says
it. Choose and perish. We don't understand choose.
Yeah, so
choose.
Bill Murray says, Venkman says,
okay, sorry,
if we think of J. Edgar Hoover, then he just thought of J.
Absolutely,
Edgar Hoover.
Absolutely.
Why is J. Edgar Hoover not coming around the corner?
Because it wouldn't be funny. Actually,
if he was wearing a dress.
That'd be pretty funny.
If he's wearing a dress,
that's funny.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Point of trivia.
Somewhere Harold Ramis is like, that would have been brilliant.
That would have been better. We didn't know then, right?
I've had that thought for years, by the way. I'm like, wait a second.
He just thought of something.
Like, but to explain to the audience, you got to get
that, I think I brought this up the other day before we taped as well, and I haven't said it on the air yet. My friend of the show, John DiDomenico, former guest, said that when they're deciding to go into business, Bill Murray's all about, let's spend this money, come on, mortgage the house, let's do it. And so they do. And then later on, when Stantz brings the vehicle with all the faults that it has, and it costs $4,800, Bill seems really put out. So it's like they've switched roles as far as who's frugal in the gang.
It's true.
That's true.
But I can see why Murray would want to spend money the way he did, and then But then later it's
only $4,800, and it's there for the joke.
Everybody has a second mortgage.
Shocks, breaks, break.
One last casting trivia: before Rick Moranis took the role, who was cast as Louis?
John
Tully?
Candy.
That is true.
Is that true?
That is true.
Yeah.
I'm giving this whole thing as a promotional expense. That's why I invited clients instead of friends. You having a good time, Mark?
Yeah.
And, I'm glad you just brought up Rick Moranis, because as we're having this discussion, I just realized it's already the most epic sci-fi, great comedy, amazing people. And then Rick Moranis shows up, and Sigourney Weaver is in it. It's like,
that was
crazy
her
good
first
movie.
Turn doing comedy, because she was always considered a serious actress up until then.
Yeah, I think You're Living Dangerously and stuff like that was what she was doing.
Serious. Even when she did the audition, she had to convince them to see her, because they're like, well, we're looking for someone more comedic.
An alien, of course.
Yeah.
And of course, her audition piece was The Audition. Can I use this chair?
Can I use this chair? Oh!
Seriously, can I use it?
Seriously.
Oh, come on.
It's a really good play.
It's a really good play.
Let's see if we'll dig into this for a brief second. Adam and Karen wanted to play a little trivia, quote trivia
I'm
contest.
I'm so nervous, I have to
I'll let myself out.
No, you
can hear you.
You want in?
All right, do it.
What's happening?
Adam said he quotes the movie really well. Of course, Karen quotes the movie really well.
Yeah. Well, Karen and I will
throw... It's a standoff. It's a standoff. I understand.
Yeah? All right, so if neither of them get it, I'll throw to you.
All right.
How's that? Then I'll be the ringer. Sweep
you,
and win.
You all are...
No, go to him first.
No, it's... No, you two need to have
Well,
this
let me show you how it works. Right. I say a line, and then one of our movie guys says the next line of the movie, and I let them know if they're right or not. For example, Karen.
Yes.
See you on the other side, Ray.
Nice working with you, Dr. Venkman.
Boom. Oh. Nailed it. Adam?
I already would have failed.
Adam? there you go. Adam, I make it a rule never to get involved with possessed people.
And I can steal, right? If he doesn't
you can
get
steal.
You can steal.
I'll let Bart steal, actually, if he wants. I make it a rule never to get involved with possessed people.
Oh, man.
Karen?
It's more of a guideline than a rule.
There you go.
What?
How did I not know that?
Yeah,
that was a good steal.
That's okay. No, you know that.
All right, we'll stick with...
no.
You knew that one.
Points.
I knew you knew that one.
All right, we'll stick with Adam. I did that. I did that. That's my fault.
It's okay, Ray. The table broke the fall.
Nice. Right,
that's a point for me.
Are you keeping track?
Yeah, I'm going to
keep track.
All right, we're doing good. One.
Let's see, for Karen then. Everybody getting this so far? So what, I guess they don't make them like they used to. No!
They never made them like that. Oh, yeah, I have to say more?
Can I steal?
Go ahead.
You can. You can share a point if you can finish that up.
You might know this, though. I've heard you say this.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Oh, no, they never made them like this.
I don't know.
The architect.
The architect was either a certifiable genius or...
Or authentic wacko.
There we go. There's everyone got the damn point with that one.
We're a team of
that was good.
The reason I know that one is because that's a scene with some bad extras in it.
And the jail scene.
The two black guys in the back are just mugging like
overreacting.
Yeah, you're right.
I think we have a jail quote there.
That was a good one.
Oh, yeah.
There is a whole scene going on behind that scene.
You're right.
You're totally right.
And I finally noticed them. They're overacting. Like, what in the name of? Hey, this is crazy.
Oh, that's
everybody getting this so far?
Which is probably where that line comes from. It's an improv.
That's awesome.
All right, Adam. I guess so. I think we better split up. Good idea.
We can do more damage that way.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's a good one.
And I'm going to give Bart one for that.
Yeah,
other one,
Bart.
All right, Karen, this is the scene I was just talking about.
Oh, shoot.
Everybody can relax. I found the car. Needs some suspension work and shocks, brakes, brake pads, lining, steering, box, transmission, rear end. How much?
It's only $4,800.
Boom. Wow. Adam?
Yes.
This is a major disgrace. Forget MIT or Stanford. No, they wouldn't touch us with a 10-meter cattle prod.
This is a tough one. Yeah, this okay, hold on. They wouldn't touch us with a 10-meter cattle prod.
I know.
One.
Oh, go ahead.
It's not call. Is it call it? Go ahead.
We'll go to Bart.
You've never had a real job. They expect results.
No. Okay. Einstein did his best work as a patent clerk.
That's it. That's half of it.
Oh, is it? Okay.
You're always so concerned about your reputation.
Einstein did his best work as a patent clerk.
Oh, that's right.
Do you know how much
right.
a patent clerk makes?
Yeah, there you go. Good one. That's a really good steal.
Woo!
All right, we'll do a couple more of these. All right, Karen.
Oh God, I hate being first. Okay.
My parents left me at that house. I was born there.
Everybody has two mortgages on their house.
At 18%, you didn't even bargain with the guy.
You're not going to lose the house. Everyone has three mortgages.
Three mortgages.
No points there. It's the right idea, but the wrong quote.
Adam?
Yes.
Excuse me, Egon. You said crossing the streams was bad. Cross the streams.
You're going to endanger us. You're going to endanger the lives of our lovely client who paid us in advance before she turned into a dog.
Yeah, good. Very good. What do we have now?
We got three, four. Karen, and Bart's got one.
Bart's got one.
On the board. I'm on the board.
He's on
the
board.
Big board.
Big board looks good, Colonel.
Karen?
Oh, God. Okay.
Dr. Venkman, I meet you and I say, my God, there's someone with the same problem I have.
Yes, we have the same problem, you.
Boom.
Yay!
Karen's walking away with this one.
The T-ball. T-ball shot. Adam, every ancient religion has its own myth about the end of the world. Myth? Ray, has it ever occurred to you that maybe the reason we've been so busy lately is because the dead have been rising from the grave?
Ooh.
Long pause.
Okay.
And then...
Oh. Ah!
Karen?
Let's listen to some music.
How about a little music?
How about a little music? Yeah!
That's for the win right there. That's a killer one.
That involves...
I congratulate
nice work.
You. I challenged
was,
you.
Wow, that's... Freaking crazy. I'm never good at
hands.
Anything, so this is very exciting.
This is good for the Woo! Country, I think.
Yeah.
All right, important safety tip. Thanks, Egon.
that was
all right.
Good.
Oh,
that
wait
was
a minute, fun. Wait a minute. You
Uh-oh.
Know what?
Oh,
before
no.
we go too far, there is another movie opening this week.
Wait, what?
What?
Oh.
It opened on
How
Wednesday.
How dare they?
Stars Bryan Cranston as the U.S. Customs agent who was essential in bringing down Pablo Escobar. It's called The Infiltrator. All right, well, let's talk about it. Here we go. Oh, sorry, we're out of time.
That's too bad.
Well, we got Karen's birthdays. Karen's weekly look at the birthdays of those who make the movies. Karen, here you go.
All right, so because I didn't want any spoilers, this week I'm doing birthdays from Ghostbusters. But not this new Ghostbusters, but the old Ghostbusters. And of course, in order to find birthdays that took place during this week and last week, I had to go deep. So I'd like to wish a very happy birthday to Miss Edda Rice Marin, who passed away in 1998 at the age of 84. Sadly, she'll be missing the new all-female Ghostbusters, but you might remember her from this.
Hello!
idea who that character was?
The old lady in the hallway.
Yes!
Yes! That's fantastic.
Bart! It's your points for Bart!
Points! Points! We're going to keep adding points here.
Oh, okay.
Points!
That was great. Yes, so Etta, she played Louis Tully's neighbor.
Oh, my God.
She has 76 television and film credits.
Oh, wow.
She was in Turner and Hooch. And don't tell
That's
mom.
That's where I didn't recognize her from.
She always played an old lady in those house dresses.
Oh.
She was also in Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead and The Frisco Kid.
With Harrison Ford
and
Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder.
Unbelievable. She played Mrs. Bender, so if you ever wanted to go check that out. But I love
Banner year at the old Bender family.
At the old Bender family. So let's keep wishing happy birthdays. Now, these next ones you might start to recognize. Let's wish a very happy birthday to Mr. Tom McDermott, who sadly also passed away in 1996.
You don't know who that is.
No.
Oh, at the age of 83. Now, he also is going to be missing the female Ghostbusters. I'm sure he'd be upset about that. Paul, play the clip. You'll recognize him.
Tom, was it?
Tom. Happy birthday, Tom.
How are you, Lenny? You're looking good, Mike. We're in a real fix here. What do you think I should do?
Lenny, officially, the church will not take any position on the religious implications of these phenomena. Personally, Lenny, I think it's a sign from God. But don't quote me on that.
No, I think that's a smart move, Mike.
He played the Archbishop. Fantastic.
Oh, wow.
Tom did a great job. As a matter of fact, when I was going through and looking at these smaller credits,
so great.
Because I've seen the movie a billion times, you start to realize how solid even these teeny tiny, that lady in the hall, 76 credits.
Mm.
So everything was really
Walter Peck.
Oh, my God. Oh, holy cow. You know, all these people, like, for example, this guy was in The Crucible with Daniel Day-Lewis, and later he passed away that year, so I don't know if that killed him. But he was in Jumpin' Jack Flash as a minister. In Much Ado About Nothing, he played Friar Francis. Clearly, he had a type.
He worked alongside Cool Breeze Reeves?
Sweet.
Yeah, actually he did.
Was it the 92?
Yeah.
Kate Beckinsale.
His characterization of Permes Lycos on Captain Video and his Video Rangers is considered to be the precursor of Mr. Spock as an alien, later used in the Star Trek films and television series.
I gotta look that up.
Check that out. So Captain Video and his Video Rangers,
everybody.
That
sounds like something I would be into.
Totally. I thought for sure you'd be like, oh, I've seen that.
I was ready to.
Right. Because
it just sounds like I would, but
I
don't know
that. Captain Video? Check it out, because maybe Live Long and Prosper is going on. And let us wish a very happy birthday to someone I know you know, Mr. William Atherton, who plays turns 69, but he could play anywhere from a dick to a prick.
Uh-huh.
And let's hear a little something from William Atherton.
Hold it! I want this man arrested! Captain, these men are a criminal violation of the Environmental Protection Act, and this explosion is a direct result of it!
Your mother!
Hey, hold on!
88 credits on IMDb. Again, he was in Die Hard, Die Hard 2, The Pelican Brief, Real Genius as Jerry Hathaway.
Of course.
Want to know what goes on around here.
Pelican Brief, don't you have the song, Ray Parker Jr.'s song for that? Did you not pull the whole clip?
I did not.
Yeah, go look up Key and Peele. He sings The Pelican Brief too.
What is the magic word?
What is the magic word?
Oh, that's a great directed scene.
Solid. That is a great scene. Yeah, as an actor, you can see like the games are playing.
I know,
you can
right?
see how he tries different tactics.
Yeah.
You could totally take that
apart. Why do you
want
to see the story, Judy? Like, he baits him?
I'm curious. Like... yeah. I'm curious about what
I'm
you do around
you do
here.
Here.
Yeah. Because you can tell he's trying to be nice in his way.
And then that tension rises at the end, which is, you go get a quarter. I mean,
and I will sue your ass for wrongful prosecution.
Really well-directed movie. Really well-made.
I think the reason I'm going to have a problem with the new movie isn't them. It's me. I'm a lunatic who knows all the lines. That's my fault. That is totally my fault.
Like, they're going to be wrong. That was wrong.
And
you know the next line. They're the next line. You didn't say the next line.
I would like to venture a prediction. And I'm always wrong. However, I have a feeling you're going to get wrapped up in this. Just because
I'm
Paul
cry.
Feig is, they will start playing other games that you definitely don't know, you know?
Yeah.
I think it'll be, you'll get wrapped up in it. And then you'll get pulled back and go, oh, that's a reference. But then you might start enjoying it.
I might.
I think it's going to be the Force Awakens of Ghostbusters for you. I am predicting.
Well, okay. So,
and I hope you like it, because I'd like to see it with you.
Oh, I know. I want to see it a whole bunch of times. I hope I like it.
But by the way, you're seeing it alone the first time, and that is such an Adam move. I love
I'm totally
that.
Going alone.
I'm not seeing it with anybody, because you'll ruin it. Anybody you see it with will ruin it for
and
you.
I'm going to be walking to the theater, plugging my ears. I don't want to hear anything about it.
Yep,
I don't want anyone.
Do.
I'm just going to sit quietly alone. Maybe I'll even buy popcorn.
Listen to the Ghostbusters soundtrack.
On the way there. In my tape player, because I have an old car and I still have a tape player.
Hell yeah.
Bart, this was one of my favorite things ever. You know how much I love when celebrities sing.
This is true. If you're a listener at home, this probably happens to you all the time. It happens to me. People come up to me on the street and they say, hey, tell me two interesting things about that Karen Volpe. And I say, hey, brainless, she loves Ghostbusters.
Right?
First thing I tell them. And second thing I tell them, of course, is that Karen Volpe loves when celebrities sing.
I do. And I was planning on doing Ray Parker Jr. because why wouldn't you? And his birthday was in June and whatever. And then today I had inspiration and I was like, wait a minute, there's other songs in that movie. So I looked up, and this is amazing.
Alessi brothers?
The Alessi brothers' birthday was yesterday.
Oh, my God.
And they are twins.
Oh.
Their names are Billy and Bob Alessi.
That's amazing.
And
yeah.
they're going to sing us a little Saving the Day.
I'm a bigger fan of this song.
The 1984 hit, the American pop singing songwriting duo, the Alessi brothers, Billy and Bobby.
Saving the Day.
Nice.
Saving
They have a Facebook page with 1,200 likes.
Woo! Brothers, not twins?
Twins! It's amazing! And their birthday was yesterday.
That's awesome.
It's kind of amazing.
It's a great song.
You seem a little strange. Right?
Not since Milli Vanilli.
Ah! I was so excited. I was
This soundtrack has a bunch of songs on it.
Oh, there's some good stuff. Dana's theme is one of my favorites.
Who did the score? Somebody.
Elmer Bernstein.
Elmer Bernstein.
Like, no joke. Like, Magnificent Seven. Like, no joke. They brought in the big guns.
That's awesome.
Oh, that was so much fun. I'm sorry to be a bummer at the beginning of the show, but I pulled
myself
back.
We brought you back around.
No, but it became real. No, I understand.
It got really scary for a second.
Karen? You have just entered my world of watching these some of these
really
incredibly terrible superhero movies, and yeah, it's you know
it makes you just a little. I might be a little anxious at the beginning.
No, I'm recognizing all the signs here. Look, if you need help,
I'm not gonna be able to handle
if you need
it.
Help.
Yes,
just come here.
I'll call you. I need a fan.
I'll bring you over. We'll watch Batman v Superman. I'll explain
No.
All right, we'll watch Green Lantern. I'll explain. No, I actually
don't.
Couldn't.
Just go by yourself. Spend the day by yourself.
You know what? I think I'm going to do is I'll have a card with me, and it will be have Paul's phone number in case anything happens.
Yeah, do not resist.
If I pass out.
Hey, one last question. I meant to ask this earlier because it's a long time, and if anybody's listened to our show a few times, they've heard the story of how you became such a Ghostbusters fan.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a ton of guests that were all Ghostbusters fans. This is a long running theme, and this is why we just all came together to do this preview together. At that theater that you went to three times a day when you were a kid.
Yes, it was the Chautauqua Mall Cinema.
Chautauqua.
I believe it was the one on the right-hand side, so two.
I wish you could get a picture of that. I want to go. I want to see
all
still
you
there,
people in WRFA, I hope you go see Ghostbusters there. So.
There were other movies playing there, or was it a one-movie theater? I've always wondered this.
There's two movies. Yeah. There's a twin, and they would rotate it, so there'd be like three movies. And they would like have off times for the different movies, but I can't remember what was playing.
The main question is, I just love the fact that in an alternate universe, we have had all this history, and the movie you have loved is Beat Street.
No!
Could have been Star Trek 3.
It could have been.
Still would have found you sexy.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
In an alternate universe,
Is that what else opened that week?
Star Trek 3 was the week before.
Right around then, yeah.
Oh,
Breakin' had come out a couple months.
Gremlins was the week of.
Yeah.
I never saw Gremlins. Mm-hmm. It might have been Gremlins.
Yeah, probably.
Because I just never went. Because
only the big movies would come to talk about.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
Wow.
It would not have been Beat Street, which I watched in Winter Haven, Florida while you were watching that and got stuff thrown at me.
Oh my gosh. It's so crazy.
Well, as we exit, another note for you online haters. I even hate using the word haters.
I know.
Sounds stupid.
It's all stupid. It all annoys me, right?
Yeah.
It's just people that
WTF haters. But this is for
LOL.
You.
LOL.
Everything you're doing is bad. I want you to know this.
There you go.
Nice.
And so with that, we will be all seeing Ghostbusters, no doubt. But that does wrap another movie showcast. Together with the movie guys, individually, we are
Caramel
Beckman.
Follow us on Twitter at TheMovieGuys, Facebook.com/TheMovieGuys, iTunes, Instagram, Google Plus, all that stuff. And thank you once again to all of our new listeners on WRFA 107.9.
And on that note, I want to challenge somebody, WRFA listeners, because I really could use this. If you could go Instagram and tag us in a photo of Ghostbusters on the marquee, if it's in that theater where I saw it as a kid, I would love to see that.
That's so
that
cool.
would be kind of extra special credit points for you.
There you go.
That'd be awesome.
I'd love to go see it at the
I would love to
Salem
see
Mall,
it.
Which they tore down 12 years ago.
Oh, that's tricky. At least mine is still there.
Thanks to Steve Scholz for his writing contributions to the show every week. And as ever, we owe everything to
Pat Peach.
We'll be back next week with a guest.
Oh, boy. We are coming back with this really cool guest. I don't know if you guys have to. Well, you can Google
him. We got a
great. Should we announce it?
Basically, of course. Chris Mulkey.
Chris
Mulkey
is coming. It's going to be the greatest. And he also plays guitar and has his kick-ass band, so it's fun.
We'll have Hank.
Might have a Bill Murray story.
The two of you. Oh,
absolutely.
We absolutely do.
Shows up at the, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's friends with all the Murray brothers. Mm-hmm.
And four new movies, so big week. Star Trek Beyond, Lights Out, Absolutely Fabulous, and Ice Age Collision Course.
And I suppose that movie Resilience, if it's still in theaters.
Resilience?
I don't know, whatever.
The Infiltrator?
Whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
What are his superpowers?
And part
to open up against Ghostbusters in a single, in a single flop.
By the way, does anyone know when Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is coming out? I'm looking forward to that.
We'll see you then.